Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 469. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. Absolutely free, including postage and handling. We have some strong message today. We have letters. We have songs. We have a lot of reproof from the Word of God. People are sending in messages to me that, or to our people on the street, because we have a street ministry. There's like, we have a whole army of people on the streets all over the world distributing the literature that the Lord has given me, and they say, I listen to Tony Alamo's program. He's good. Good. Good, good, good. All right?
Amen.
I haven't had any ones that says I'm bad, because I have them, most people think I have them destroying all the bad mail. And probably that might be true. They don't want me to get acne from an inferiority complex or something. But I guarantee you listen to this program and you're going to learn the Bible.
Amen.
And you're going to receive some power from God. A lot of power from God if you just hang in there with me. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service, this program. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. Lord, giving us your word that tells us that you didn't come into this world to bring peace. All the human beings are saying, we want peace on earth, and they wrote these Lord, you say that you leave your peace with it, but there's not going to be any peace to the Gentiles, the lost people, until they receive the peace of you, the Lord. So while you say I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. Lord, you said in Matthew 10:34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And that sword, Father, is your word. Your word is the greatest weapon on the face of this earth, otherwise, because the sword is you. You are the most powerful weapon in the world, and all people need to do is get saved and then call on you to be their weapon. Lord, our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are you. Because when we call on you, you will do the pulling down of strongholds. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you'll tear down every stronghold with you. You're the sword, the word of God, that people will be able to understand the scriptures so that they can receive salvation. And we pray, Lord, that the people of the Lord that are not as deep as you are, that they would become as deep as you are, that they would seek to have the mind of the Lord. You're not just going to give it to them. They have to seek it. Seek and you'll find. Ask and you'll receive. We have to read your word in order to have the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ is the word of God. And the word of God is the sword of God. And this is, we don't use guns, bullets, and bombs. We're not out to kill people, but we're out to save people, because you came into this world to save sinners. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we ask that you do that on this program. The sinners will be saved, and those that are Christians that are losing their grip on the word, on you, that they get back to you, and that they become strong and edified in the Word, in you, Jesus, in you, Father God, Lord Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, Billy Strange, a very good friend of mine, he's one of the best producers and directors. I've never heard anybody work with strings like Billy Strange does. He's also the person that runs Frank Sinatra and Nancy Sinatra's publishing company, and he got this song to me. It's called Sunday School to Broadway, and here I am to sing it for you. Sunday School to Broadway.
Well, she used to stand, clap her hands, and sing Amazing Grace, while the tears of childhood innocence were rolling down her face. Mama prayed at night and raised her right hand, thought she knew the way. But it's a long, long way from Sunday school to where she is today. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing the sinner's song, it's hard to find your way back home. But it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. Sunday evening spent in a gospel tent down on her bended knees, where she gave a soul to Jesus and he set her spirit free. But the cold night air out on Times Square, it put she felt back home. And it's a long, long way from Sunday school to New York, and that's alone. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner's song, it's hard, you'll find your way back home. Cause it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. Then her eyes grew bright in the cold, dark night, and a halo framed her face. And a passerby swore he heard her cry, did he hear Amazing Grace? They couldn't see the man who took her hand as she lay there in the street. And it's a long, long way from Broadway to a place at the master's feet. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner's song, it's hard to find your way back home. Well, it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner's song, it's hard to find your way back home. Well, it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be.
Dr. Couch in Nashville, Tennessee, had a daughter, Columbia recording artist C.C. Couch, and she's the high voice on that song. And then also Jeannie Fricke, who is the big recording artist today, was singing background for me there, and I really appreciate it, really a lot. And Gary Paxton arranged this, and we had a very good time recording these gospel songs. We recorded over at the House of Cash, over at Johnny Cash's studio there in Hendersonville. And Johnny Cash has got a lot of albums that he did, sacred albums, and we're going to be playing some of his very soon, as soon as my procurer of songs gets busy and gets them for me. We have some letters today. Where's the first one from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Ghana, Africa, okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, I deem it a great pleasure to write to you. I believe by the grace of our Almighty God, you are fit as a fiddle, together with your entire family and your ministry. Pastor, I want to make a confession to you. I was a drunkard, a fornicator, an armed robber, and I didn't have a passion for God's word. But, Pastor, I was introduced to your books by my friend who has received books from you. He gave me some of your literature entitled Biting the Bullet, Earthquake, and the Messiah to read, and he came back for it later. However, I took the time to read it, and upon reading it, it highlighted something important to me, to give my life to Christ. I am striving hard to abide by it, and now I can boldly say I am born again and growing. Thereby I have a sweet fellowship with Jesus. Pastor, I want you to help me by sending me books on how to become effective in my Christian life. I would also be happy if you could send me the Messiah and a Bible to grow into the fullness of Christ. Lastly, may God richly bless you and grant you divine wisdom in His Word to impart it to this perverse generation to change their lives to Christ. Thank you in anticipation of your cooperation. Yours faithfully, O. Seth, from Suwami, Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Right, when we're sinners and we come to the Lord Jesus, that's so beautiful to hear testimonies like this. And when we're like He is, or like the way we were, what we experience when we come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the ascension life. Not only are we crucified to the cross, at the cross, and we say we're going to just give up our old life and start living the ascension life, where Jesus ascended up into the kingdom of heaven, and that's where we sit now. The believer then, you weren't a Christian, but all of a sudden you become a believer, and then you become joined to the Lord, who sits at the right hand of God, and we sit there with Him, the Bible says. The Spirit of the enthroned God, the Lord Jesus Christ, flows into the spirit of we, the believers, who is on the earth. We're here on earth, yet we're not of the world. We're on earth, but we're not of the world. We're like sheep among wolves, the Bible says. We're in the world, but not of the world. The enthroned life, or the resurrected life, is accordingly lived out upon the earth, because Christ is in us, and He's leading and guiding and directing us by His Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. He's the head. And the head happens to be the Lord Jesus. And His body share the same resurrected life that He is living now. He's ascended in the kingdom of heaven, and we're sitting there with Him, even though we're here on earth. Our spirit is united with His Holy Spirit, and therefore we sit enthroned in heaven with Him. And it must be. With such a union as that, He is able to pour forth the power of His life through we, the believers' spirit, into our spirits. Just like a tube which is connected to a fountain is able to convey living water, so also the believer's spirit, which is united with the Holy Spirit of the Lord, is capable of transmitting on a continuous day-by-day basis His life unto us. And so that's why we must carry the cross, to crucify us from worldly life. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're now living, or to be living, the ascension life. The Lord is not only the Spirit. He is the life-giving Spirit as well. He's the life-giving Spirit. So we don't want to ever get ourselves divided from that life-giving Spirit. When our spirit is joined intimately with the life-giving Spirit, which is Christ, our spirit is filled with same life that Christ has. Nothing can limit that life. It's unlimited. We're able to do all things in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. So when the Lord tells you to do something, never doubt it, just do it. Because if He tells you to do something, He knows that we have the capacity to be able to do it.
Amen.
Amen. God knows us better than we know ourselves, because we are an extension of His life here on earth. How we need to have this in our spirit, that we may be victorious continually in our daily walk with the Lord. Such a union as this clothes us with the victory of the Lord Jesus because he was victorious. He stepped aside from all temptation. He could have sent down many legions of angels to rescue him. They asked him to come down. They said, if you're the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, they saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal everybody in town, in many towns. And they saw him raised from the dead. And they're saying, if thou be the Son of the living God, this demon. If he would have done that, that would be very tempting. You know, everybody wants to show their strength off, you know. If I was on the cross, you know, I'd like, well, you don't think so? I'd come down if I was him and smite him and then get back up on the cross again. But he didn't do that. He says, Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. It gives us the knowledge of his will and his mind. It builds and expands the new creation within us by the rich inflow of the Lord's vitality and his actual nature. Through death and resurrection, our spirit ascends with him. Even as the Lord has ascended on high and experiences the heavenly places, having trodden down all that is earthly underfoot, because we're on earth in this world, but not of the world. We're not earthly. Our inner being is in ascendancy, far above any obstacle of disturbance on this earth. That's why we should never let anything disturb us, because the Lord never wants us to worry. He never states for us to worry. Quite the opposite. We're not to worry. We're to pray always and have faith always, because with faith, we can move mountains and we can move the enemy. Amen?
Amen?
Far away from us. This is true. It's continually free and fresh and discerns everything with a transparent sight of heaven. How radically different this life of heaven on earth is from one that is swayed by our emotions. The former kind displays heavenly nature and is persistently, continuously spiritual. We have to know what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is. God's children already have the Holy Spirit abiding in them, but they may not recognize the Lord, God himself, or obey him. They need to do so completely so that they are able to begin to realize the power of God that is within them, because we must be obedient to the Lord, and then he will be obediently do as he said he will do by moving into us and making everything come possible that he tells us to do. We must realize that this indwelling presence is a person. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. And these three, which are one, who they teach, guides, and communicates the reality of Christ to us. Until we are willing to acknowledge the foolishness and dullness of their soul and are ready to be taught, they block the way of the Lord's, of this person, the Lord God, who is Christ. It is absolutely necessary for them to let him regulate everything in their lives so as to reveal the truth to them. Except they know in the depth of their being that God's Holy Spirit is indwelling them, and unless with their spirit they wait for his teaching, they will not welcome his operation upon their soul life. And the operation that the Lord wants to do on our soul life is to make it spiritual. Our spirit must become so fat, grown up in the fullness of Christ, that that Christ moves into the soul and overwhelms the soul life and then the body. Only as they cease to seek anything, or only as we cease to seek anything by ourselves, and only as we take the position of the teachables, shall we be taught by the Holy Spirit, by the truth of the Holy Spirit, which we are able to digest. The Lord opens our understanding, and we're able to digest his teachings. We know that the Lord verily abides in us when we understand that our spirit, which is deeper than thought and emotion, is God's holy of holies. This is where the Lord lives, by which we commune with the Lord's spirit. Those that worship the Lord must worship him in our spirit and in his truth. He tells us that we're sitting with him, but if we want to continue sitting with him and continue wanting our souls to be saved to the end, then we must commune with the Holy Spirit, and in which we wait for his communication back to us. We're living in a world that is extremely dangerous now, and we need divine guidance. As we acknowledge him and respect him, he manifests his power out from the hidden part of our being by extending his life to our soulical and conscious life, so that the soul is eventually mortified. It is deadened. The Christians at Corinth were of the flesh. In exhorting them to depart from their carnal state, Paul repeatedly reprimanded them of the fact that they were God's temple, and that the Holy Spirit lived in them, knowing he indwells them, helps Christians to overcome their carnal conditions. All right, do we have another letter?
Yes, from Fresno, California.
Okay.
Dear Brother Tony Alamo, greetings. I have been reading your world newsletters for some time. Your interpretation of the Holy Word of God makes the Spirit of Truth reach the unreached.
Well, it's not my interpretation. There is no private interpretation. I am not allowed to interpret with my own interpretation of the Bible. That just means what it says. No adulterer, no fornicator, no effeminate, no liar, thief, robber, a covetous person shall enter the kingdom of God. But all of them shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what the Bible says. That's not my interpretation. That's just what I believe. I believe what the Bible says. Okay, then what?
I pray that everyone on this planet is relieved of the yoke of Satan through your literature.
A lot of them are. Okay, then what?
I preach among Indian communities the interpretation of the Holy Word you give. Please help me in getting your world newsletters for distribution on a regular basis. Also, please let me have your book, The Messiah, for my personal reading. Supply me 10 copies of the Holy Bible and a good number of New Testaments at the following address.
Well, we don't send out New Testaments because it's impossible to know the New Testament if you don't know the Old. The Old and New Testament are actually one book. It's one book. The Old Testament tells you what's going to happen, and the New Testament shows that it happened. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It will be more useful if the above literature is supplied in Hindi or Punjabi, because Indian communities settled in the U.S. do not understand English much. Blessings in the holy name of Jesus, Reverend Dr. Singh from Fresno, California.
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. We get so many good letters, and it's because the literature and these programs are meaningful to people. They get saved, and they're getting stronger, and they're going out and witnessing and testifying to other people. And it really encourages me to hear these letters. I really never solicited them, but I sure appreciate them.
Amen.
Amen. So now, let's read the fullness of Matthew 10:34, and we'll go to 35. Who, Sharon, you have that, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Now, George Bush is saying, we've got to bring peace on earth. And their theory is, we're just talking about here, people that are carnal and people that are spiritual. There's a lot of difference between that. And the Bible states that there's a bond woman, was a Hagar. She had a son, but he wasn't the child of promise. The child of promise, the Bible said that Sarah would have a child, and that wasn't her child. That was Hagar, the bondwoman. She was the maid. And she had a child. And I've heard many preachers say that that is the bastard race, because they don't really, they're not the promise of God. God, if you don't have God for your father, and they're a jealous race because they're extremely jealous of this is Ishmael that I'm talking about, was the father of all the Arabs, Palestinians, and all these people. But Isaac was the promise, the child of promise. He was a Jew. The mother was Jewish, Sarah, and she was Abraham's wife. Hagar was just a concubine. And that was Sarah's and Abraham's fault. But still, the child was not the child of promise. And the Bible says she's the bondwoman. And the Bible says to cast the bondwoman out. You must be the child of promise. Now, the Bible says that those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God promises if you do, and you pick up the cross and take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ till the end, that you shall be saved. Then, if you do that, then you're a child of the promise. Isn't that something?
Amen.
And the Bible says, cast out the bondwoman. And the Bible goes on to say that we are not the children of the bondwoman because we believe in God. Amen?
Amen.
We would never think to attack God's chosen people because they're the children of promise. Okay, don't you Palestinians and Arabs get that? Don't you people at the White House get that? It plainly states so. Before we read these scriptures, let's go to the fifth chapter, or it's the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, and it tells you all this, all right? So go ahead, Sharon.
Verse 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law?
Okay. You want to be under the law? Well, if you're under the law, no one has ever kept the law except Jesus or the child of the promise. If you're a child of the promise, and you're really a child of the promise, you're really born again in the Spirit, well, then you're not under the law anymore, because that doesn't mean that you are saying that the law no longer is in effect. It's because you've been forgiven of all your sins and you've vowed to the Lord that you're going to sin no more, because the Bible says if you go and sin some more, there remains no more forgiveness for you, because all the good things that you did while you were in the Spirit are erased. But if you did that ignorantly, you can be forgiven because God is merciful. But that is if you come back to Him and live the heavenly, ascended life, if you're sitting with Christ and you stay there. This is the state of perfection. You hear all these false prophets and false teachers saying that no one is perfect. Well, that's because they know they're not. and everybody believes that they are the way everyone is the same as they are. Like a lot of prostitutes think everybody's a prostitute. And a lot of people I've heard them say, well, everybody's a prostitute. Maybe you're more, maybe your price is higher than the next person's. You just, no one has ever offered you the right price. Would you be a prostitute if somebody offered you $1 million? And you get some swell, well, what about $2 million? I'm going to prove a fact, they'll say. If I can have an affair with you and I give you, will you do it for $1 billion? I start seeing some smirks on people's faces. They get nervous and sweat starts coming down their faces. Because they just say every whore thinks everyone's a whore. And I would say they're probably maybe 80 or 90% true, but there's a lot of people that Bible says very few shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So that means that very most of the people would do that for much less than $1 billion, because they live according to this world. They're children of the bondwoman. Now read it.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons.
Two sons. One was the son of promise, and the other one was the bastard race. Well, we don't like you calling us bastard, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? Mm-hmm. So you take that up with the Lord. In the meantime, I'm going to preach the gospel, okay? Go ahead.
Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman.
Right. She was a Jew. One of God's chosen people. And God prophesied that she would bring forth a child, and he would be the child of promise. So it wouldn't make any difference if Abraham had 1,000 wives, and they all had children, they're still not the child of promise. Only when Sarah has a child will that be the child of promise. Okay? Now, even in Israel today, they say, unless the mother is Jewish, you're not Jewish. Like, if my dad is Jewish, but if my mother wasn't, then they don't consider me a Jew. Only if the woman is Jewish. Then they say that's the son of promise. Or the daughter, you know, the daughter, it's not the promise, but it's the son of promise if it's a Jewish a man that's born of a Jewish woman and a Jewish man. That's correct. Okay, you can ask rabbis and they'll tell you that. If your dad's a Jew and your mother's not, you're really not Jewish. So you can become a spiritual Jew, however, by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, into your spirit. And you become crucified with Christ, and you become ascended with him. And you stay there with him in heavenly places while you're walking here on earth, going about doing the things that he says to do. Now, a lot of people says there, well, you can't, we don't have to do anything. Yes, we do. We don't have to do anything to get saved except to come to him and ask him to enter into our hearts and tell him that we believe in him. And then, but that's not us. That's just us saying we realize that you're God, you're Christ, you're the Holy Spirit, and therefore we accept, we humble ourselves before you, not man, but you. And we ask you to come into our heart, and we will take up the cross and follow you for the rest of our lives so that we will be able to be sitting with you in heavenly places, which will give us the power and the strength because of your flowing into us on a daily basis. Then we know that we're children of the promise, because the Lord says that all nations will be blessed by Abraham. Amen?
Amen.
The seed of Abraham. And that seed is Christ. And so when you accept Christ, you're going to be blessed. And if you keep reading him, which is the word, Christ is God, come in the flesh. That's the first verse in the first chapter of the book of John in the New Testament. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later in the 14th verse it says that he came to the world as a man so that he could have genuine human blood to shed for the sins of the world. And so that, and he became a life-giving spirit, so that after he was crucified and ascended, he became a life-giving spirit. But the Bible also says that after he enters into us, we become life-giving spirits. So he isn't the only one. He's the first one, and he is a living, a life-giving spirit. And he gives it to us, and it says, and then we become life-giving spirits. Because the duty of all of us that have received the life-giving spirit, which is Christ, is we are to dispense that life-giving spirit unto others by preaching the word. Now, the bondwoman hates those are the unsaved ones. Now, I'm not saying that Arabs don't get saved, because I know some Arabs that have been saved. But they have to humble themselves before the world's greatest Jew in order to have him live in them. And he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when the Lord is living in you, then you become a life-giving spirit, because it's him in you that is dispensing the word, like he's doing with me now to you, dispensing his precious one and only life to you. He is wants you to have the life-giving spirit. He wants you to become a life-giving spirit. And that's all you have to do. So let's continue on with this fourth chapter of the book of Galatians.
But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh.
Yes. It wasn't promised. There was no promise of somebody, a Hagar's child. She was a maid in the house of Sarah and Abraham and Sarah. Then what?
But he of the free woman was by promise.
Yes. He who was delivered from Egypt. Hagar wasn't delivered from Egypt. She was like, one of those type of people. She was Egyptian, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Lord never delivered the Egyptians out of Egypt. No, she was free. She had been freed by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Israel was freed from the Egyptians. And so now she is not the woman. The seed is not her seed, or is not the promised one. That God promised that this young man that would come from Sarah would be the child of promise. Okay? So, yeah, God is prejudiced. Well, you don't like that. Open up the NAACP. That's what I'm doing. I belong to the National Advancement of God's People. Amen?
Amen.
Or Association of God's Chosen People. All right? So, I'll tell you how he's prejudiced. He says, if you believe, you're saved. If you don't, you're damned. So all those, he's prejudiced against the damned ones. Amen?
Amen.
So it doesn't make any difference what color your skin is if you accept the world's greatest Jew. And humble yourself before him and ask him to come into your heart. And you want to sit with him in heavenly places and let him wash all your filthy, rotten sins away in the precious blood that he shed on the cross for you. He'll wash you and cleanse you, give you a new spirit, a Jewish spirit. Hey! Amen?
Amen.
In your Gentile body. And then he'll dwell in there. Amen. It doesn't matter who you are or what. If you do what he says, then you're his. Then you become his people. Amen?
Amen.
But you can't expect anything from him if you want to be a bond child of the flesh. How can you expect to have anything? Because he's spirit.
Amen.
Okay? And he's life. There's no life. You have a temporal life, but that's going to come to an end real soon out there in the world. Okay, continue on, Sharon.
Which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. And for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
Yeah, the mother, see? It has to be the Jewish mother. Then you're a real Jew in the flesh, but not all Israel is Israel. You must be born again of the Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus. So don't feel bad. If you feel bad because you're not, that you are children of the bondwoman and yet you haven't been saved, well, then you don't have faith in God, because God makes no difference between man, woman, or any color of skin, person in jail, prison, or a person that's on the streets. If you accept Christ, you're one of his children. Amen?
Amen.
And the Spirit of God will enter into you, and you'll be saying, Abba, means Father. Amen?
Amen.
And you'll be praising and thanking the Lord, and you'll be sitting with Christ in heavenly places. Isn't that fantastic?
Amen.
Promise of the Lord? Okay, keep going.
For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not.
Yeah, because a lot of women feel that they have to have a baby. But rejoice, he says, to those that have never had a baby or have your own children. Because the ones that you let the Lord dispense himself through you, in other words, you, a life-giving spirit, keep giving life to other people by preaching and teaching them, then you're going to have more children than those that have children. I mean, carnal children. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Amen. Well, that's what it's saying. Then what?
Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not.
Then what? Go ahead.
For the desolate hath many more children that she... than she which hath an husband.
Right, because we that preach the gospel have way more children than that those that what?
She which hath an husband.
Yeah. You don't have to have a husband to have children. The Lord says that the spiritual birth is more important than the natural birth. Amen?
Amen.
Because the natural birth is Hagar. And the spiritual birth is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then what?
Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
See? Now we are the same as the children of promise, that we're like Isaac, not Ishmael. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 We're the same, the Bible says, and we know that the Lord is piping right through the apostle here. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born...
And that's the same way the world, all the unsaved world is still persecuting those of us that are the children of the promise. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're sitting with the Lord in heavenly places, and the light has shone into the world, into us, and the darkness, the children of Hagar, they perceive it not. They don't understand it, so they persecute the Christian. Amen?
Amen?
And then you've got the phonies like the Vatican that say they're Christians, and yet they're Christ killers. They hate God because they're the ones that are taking even the name God, out of schools and out of every place they can. But they can't take him out of our heart. Amen?
Amen?
Then what?
But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now.
Yeah, even so it is to this very day. Those that are not of the Spirit persecute those of us that are of the spiritual realm. Because they don't understand us. They think, God, they think all kinds of things. Because they're dead. Those that don't know Christ are dead in their sins and trespasses. They don't have any understanding of truth. And so they figure there's something wrong with us because as I said, a prostitute thinks everybody's a prostitute, and who are you to be acting like a goody two-shoes? You're not getting involved with this. You don't go out and drink with this. You don't go out and fornicate with this. You don't become a homosexual. You know, this government, this international anti-Christ Roman Catholic government, gives tax breaks to same-sex marriages. Did you know that? Yes, they do. So we know that they are Hagar. They're children of the flesh, this international government people, because they believe in murdering little babies. And this is first-degree murder. We showed you that, scriptures. There are literally hundreds of scriptures in the Bible that talk about people killing their own children, sacrificing them unto this fallacy. They think that if everybody, Satan wants to wipe out every human being that he can, especially before you get saved, because he knows that if you get killed and you go out into eternity, you're going to go to hell in the lake of fire. That's why it's so dangerous for you not to believe in Christ. That's why it's so dangerous for you not to be living with Christ in heavenly places. That's why it's so evil that you don't communicate with him on a daily basis and do what he says. We are not. We can't do anything to get saved except come to him. But after we're saved, he communicates to us the things that he wants us to do. Because the Bible says that all that Christ began to say and do. And the prophet apostle James said, I'll show you my faith by my works, the things that I do. Because there are definite duties for people after they become Christians. God wants to use us as dispensers, to dispense his word to other people. He wants us to be life-giving spirits, to pass the spirit that we have from the Lord in us unto others so that they can also become part members of Christ's body. His body is the church, the real church, not Catholics. Anybody can say they're Christians, like George W. Bush. He's building monuments unto Catholics, which are not every Catholic is an Antichrist, but the hierarchy and the things that they believe are Antichrist doctrines. And if they believe that, there's no virtue of salvation in any Antichrist doctrine. Okay, so continue on, Sharon.
Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman.
Cast out these filthy unbelievers. Amen?
Amen.
Those that persecute the Christian church, the real Christians that are sitting with Christ in heavenly places, cast them out. Then what?
Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman.
They shall not. Carnal people will not be in heaven with the spiritual people. Is that clear?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
We are delivered from being a bond or being in bonds in Egypt from sin, our sinful lives. We've been made free by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And I would highly recommend that you do the very same thing, because you must believe the Scriptures, because the Bible says that man does not live by bread alone. When the devil was offering Jesus, he said, if you're God, if you're the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. Jesus answered him, man does not live by bread alone or by food, but they live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the Bible goes on to say that Jesus is the entire Word of God. Now, when the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that means believe and the entire Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. And the Lord knows that we believe if we do what he says. He said, you are my friends if you do everything I say. Well, why is he saying this, to do things, if these false prophets' words are true? The false prophet said, we don't have to do anything. We just, you know, let it become a lawless society like it is today. And just, oh, the Lord will deliver us. He'll rapture us out of all this. But that isn't what the Bible says. You're my friends if you do everything I say. And it's not the hearers, the Apostle James said, shall be blessed, but it's the doers. He said he wants us to hear the word of God and then do it. Because the Lord didn't save our souls to become, to continue living the life of Hagar's child, Ishmael, the carnal side of population. But he saved us so that we wouldn't be like Ishmael, Hagar's bondwoman's child. We're a child of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. When the Spirit of God enters us, we become new creatures. All things become new. He gives us a new spirit. And then, okay, when we're clean, we don't have that carnal spirit anymore, then he moves into our spirit and gives us power to continue to do his will. And he gives us a hunger and a thirst to read his word. And he gives us... when we keep his word, the blessings will start flowing into your life. You can complain about God all you want, but he doesn't want you to complain about him because he makes promises and it's impossible with God to lie. If you do what he tells you, you'll be blessed. But if not, sin lies at the door. Okay, this is what God told Cain after the whole family was kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Amen.
Amen.
He told Abel's brother, he was wroth with him, jealous of Abel. But the Lord said, why is your countenance fallen? He said, if you do well, will I not bless you? And it's the same thing with you folks out there. If you do well, you will be children of the promise. Well, what is it to do well? Well, say this prayer that I'm going to say right now. I'm going to lead you through a prayer, and if you do, you'll be children of the promise, and you will no longer be children of the bondwoman. The Lord wants to cast that old bondwoman and her son out of you, and wants the Son of God and God himself, the Holy Spirit, to enter into you. All three are one, and you'll become a son of God. So if this is what you want, say this now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe that you, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say to the Lord, I open the door of my heart, Lord Jesus, and I ask you to come in and wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross by faith. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. You are the word of God, and it's impossible for you to lie, die, or fail. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord with all your heart and soul, and Sharon, tell them how they can receive a copy of a CD or an audio tape of this program, which is program number 469.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. Well, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerhouse of a message that will really set you on that solid rock, Christ Jesus. And when the winds and the storm come and the waves and the rain and all these things, you'll be standing and going right through every crisis that will come your way in this world, just like a hot knife through soft butter. Make sure to tune in tomorrow. And here I am to sing for you, Onward Christian Soldiers!
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers.